Well, it just so happens that we're studying the right verse here, in the verse, chapter 6, verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And that's, if I could engrave one thing on your mind, or one remembrance, and that is that every imagination is only evil continually. That's why the mystery of God, the resurrection of Christ, the hope of God, Christ in you, the hope of glory, all of the mysteries that have any merit in our lives are only revealed in your abandonment. To abandon yourself, to take no thought for yourself under any condition, to laugh in the face of whatever testing comes before you and say, you can't make me put my eyes on myself. To be able to look at Satan himself and say, oh, it's just you. To know that nothing on the face of the earth can cause you to put your eyes on yourself. God, since this time until now, is looking for a people to do that. He's done everything else. But to be in that position means that you can never again be a victim. You understand that? You cannot have a victim theology or a victim philosophy that says, why is this happening to me? Or if only this, then I would be that. God saw. Remember, there's no past tense in the Hebrew. God, let's read it as it is today. If we were reading this without vowel points, God, we are the only people. You know, the only way you can understand this is to know that you have to believe that two things. You have to believe that you are the only people on the face of the earth, and you have to believe that nothing that you're about to read has happened yet, but it's about to happen. Otherwise, Bible study is just like reading a book. It's stupid. And God says, is saying, God sees now, tonight, that the wickedness of you, of us, was exceedingly great in the earth, in these earthen vessels. And that every imagination of the thoughts of our heart is only evil continually. Why? It's evil continually because it puts you, by definition, as the subject of your sentence. It makes you see everything in the world as a mirror, even Christ, even God himself, as how does this affect me? You must come to that place finally where you say, no matter how righteous you think it is, no matter how right on you think it might seem, forgive me, Father, for thinking of myself for anything and about anything. Do you understand? What is it that's troubling you tonight? Forgive me, Father, for thinking of myself. Forgive me, Father, for making the cross of Christ of none effect. Forgive me for not viewing the cross. There's no such thing. It's impossible. Nothing that we have ever done as a body has come about except in our abandonment of self. No revelation that I've ever had concerning the mystery of the Scriptures has ever come with me trying to figure it out. No good has ever come in a relationship or relationships among us when we think of ourselves. There's no righteous thing that has ever taken place in your life when you were concerned with yourself. And yet tonight, 5 minutes after we leave here, something will take place and you will have your eyes on yourself and you'll be committed that it's a righteous act. And you will kill somebody else in order to justify your eyes being put on yourself. For those of you that are married, it's the most likely that it'll happen with you. For those that are going together, it's the most likely it'll happen to us. For those that are single, it's the most likely it'll happen to you. No one is exempt. You will automatically begin to think something about some need or some aspect or something you want. Boom! And it'll be impossible for you to say, Father, forgive me, because you'll have forgotten that it's the sin of thinking of yourself that's the trouble. Understand me? I looked at Jesus and the dove of peace flew into my heart. I looked at me and the dove flew away. I looked at the dove and the dove flew away. What is it that you're concerned with? It must be confessed as sin in order that you can maintain a position of abandonment. Now, the wickedness there in the verse 5 is the Hebrew word ra. And it means, it's like, have you ever, remember when we had our bananas field trip out at the ranch and we saw that dead cow? And it really smelled and it was just ugly and it was hollow. Well, but the point of it is, that was according to this word, the meaning of wickedness. It was without redeeming value. There was no thing that you would want from that dead cow. What wickedness is, after you've taken a dump, what's left is by definition the wickedness. It's without redeeming value except as fertilizer for another seed, not for you. Do you understand? That's what the meaning of the word wickedness means. It doesn't mean, it means that your mind is a cesspool. That nothing in there can be redeemed. Say, forgive me, Father. Understand that? That's the same story a million times, but maybe you will hear it tonight. The word imagination is the Hebrew word yetzer. Yetzer is in the Hebrew, it means imagination, but it also means the evil inclination. Everything in the Kabbalah, which is the Jewish mysticism, in the book of the Zohar, is about the yetzer. The yetzer is these great debates about whether the evil inclination is going to win out and what the evil inclination is doing. But any imagination, any thought, any device, any plan has to, by definition, be from that yetzer. And God looks, and it's verse 6, and it repented the Lord that he had made man on earth, and it grieved him at his heart. He's still looking at us, and he's still saying the same thing. He's saying, what more could I have done? Everything that is necessary for your complete joy and your complete fulfillment is manifest before you and is made evident to you. And yet you continue grievously in the imagination of your heart, thinking that there's life there. You are somehow convinced that life for you will come from something outside of yourself. You understand? That's why we're doing the Nazarite vow. To cause you to know that there is no life from anything outside of yourself. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. You need no other fulfillment to be manifest in a state of joy. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made him. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord.
What does the name Noah mean?
Rest. Okay. Everybody understand 6 through 8 perfectly? You understand giants and at least a little bit? You understand that Noah was the only one and his family were the only ones that weren't mixed genetically with those giants? That's why, well, as we'll see here in a minute. Verse 9, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation, and Noah walked with God. So now we've got another book. See? Another book. These are the generations.
Perfect in his generation, is that refers to the blood and the next?
Perfect is the word tamayim. Tamayim in the Hebrew. And it means, it's the same word that's used of the genetic, I mean of the sacrifices in the, if a sheep had to be perfect. So it meant, it didn't mean that he was a neat, it meant that he was genetically unmixed. Okay?
Who would he be mixed with if he was mixed?
John. We just read all that.
She wasn't here.
She split on Thursday.
I'll read them.
The sons of God, the evil ones.
Okay.
Huh? I forgot you weren't here.
Gremlins.
The word perfect or tamayim is used 46 times in the book of Leviticus to concern itself with to apply to sacrificial animals. You understand what an incredible thing that is for God to say? God is saying, in effect, that some human being named Noah is the perfect sacrifice, or at least he will. In type, he's the perfect sacrifice. Now, he was just. Just is the word zadik. According to Psalms, the zadik gives freely without regard to any possibility of gain for himself. That's what a just man is, according to the spiritual definition. And Noah walked with God. It's the same as in Genesis 5 with regard to Enoch. Noah and his family were the only pure Adamites left. All others had mixed with the sons of God. Now, Noah and Enoch were the only ones who walked with God during the pre-flood period. Remember the word walked. It doesn't mean anything except that Noah did what he was created to do. Wind blows, brooks flow, trees do tree stuff. It's whatever you're created to do is the word walked. It doesn't mean they were taking a walk hand in hand. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now the weird shit starts.
Oh yeah, like nothing weird has happened so far.
Right.
Like going to an actual name like Ham.
Shem.
And he doesn't say that.
Ham.
And Mo.
And Japheth. Shem is the middle son, but he's always mentioned first. Because it was through him the Messiah would come. Shem is the Hebrew word for name or notability or Ham is the word kam, which it's got the kaim, which I can't say. And that's, it means hot.
I just see this red guy in the arc. God, kept me up in a window.
What a ham.
Stole this.
Ham was Noah's youngest son, and he's going to get in big trouble here in a minute.
Uh-oh.
Hmm? You know what he did? He castrated his dad.
Oh, God.
No wonder he gets in trouble.
You mean like in pipe or no?
No,
really.
Pick the knife from it.
Whoa.
Any particular reason?
Even now, I think that'd be pretty bad.
Well, I know nobody ever heard of it.
No, you've had it before.
Huh?
I've heard.
Well, because Bloom sat in on this teaching, that's why.
Well, that's what he told me, yeah.
Okay.
Why? Mom was drunk.
We're not there yet. I'm just going to give you a little preview of coming attractions. Just
stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
This is why you show up before the movie starts.
We'll be back in two. All my Levites.
Keeps us interested.
Japheth. Japheth is the Hebrew word Yepheth. I'm sure you want to know that. Yepheth.
Yepheth.
What's it?
Yepheth. Yepheth means expansive or expansion. You're a descendant of Yepheth.
That's my baby.
This is God's word here.
Yes.
It's a scripture.
Look at you're causing my favorite banana to walk out because of your.
Gerald, you hear that?
What?
Gerald, you hear that?
I'm not walking.
You heard that, right?
You're about to catch a javelin.
I'm not walking.
I'm just walking with God.
And God looked upon the face. No. The earth was also corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence.
Not a good report.
How's it? Violent.
This reminds me of
very
green pastures.
I should have known the glory. I should have seen the glory.
I don't want to go through all that. It was, trust me, it was really bad. You can prove it by going all through the scriptures, but huh?
Well, we talked about all the stuff that's going on up here about the Superman. I mean, I can just imagine all the wars and all the.
Yeah, it was not a nice place to be.
I mean, dinner making and, and God looked upon the earth.
God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me. For the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth, or in the earth, or from the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood.
Go for barky bark. Yeah, no, I couldn't. I was thinking the same thing.
Stop.
Make me an arky bark.
We
need
to sing that. We haven't sang that.
No, we don't.
We never need to sing that anymore. In this life.
Pitch.
Make me an ark. Make me an ark. The earth is corrupt. Make me an ark. That's been God's cry since the beginning. That's his cry in you.
So can the ark be a lot like a temple? The temple in you?
The ark is a container. It's the type of Christ. We're going to see a lot about feasts and stuff when we study the flood, because every important thing that's mentioned about the flood took place on a feast day.
So when he said, make me an ark, he's saying, be a container.
When he says, pitch it, he's saying, mercy seat.
Yeah, pitch is the word kafar or Yom Kippur, kipper. It means to cover. It's the word that means the mercy seat, the Ha Kippur. That's the word for Yom Kippur that we celebrate when the only time the high priest can go into the Holy of Holies. It's the only word in the Old Testament for atonement. The length of the ark. Wait a minute. Make the ark of gopher wood. Rooms shall thou make in the ark. And pitch shall pitch it within and without the pitch, with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make of it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, the height of it 30 cubits.
That doesn't seem like that's very big for all those animals.
That's a big
boat. You know how big a cubit is?
I thought it was a foot and a half.
No. A cubit is 25 inches.
Over 600.
The ark is 625 feet long by 104 foot wide, and it's 62 and a half feet high. It was equivalent in tonnage to more than 600 freight cars. Wow. A train about 4 miles long is capable of handling 90,000 pounds.
Wow. This is a boatload of wood.
That's a lot of wood. How long did it take to make the ark?
Long time. Tell us that.
He and his sons are the ones working on it, right?
Yeah, he told us. 75. No.
Shit. Four for
That's kind of stuff I remember.
A window shalt thou make to the ark. Now the window. The word window is the Hebrew word zohar. And it means light or brilliance or radiance. It doesn't really mean window as you think of it. He's saying make a place of brilliance or a place of revelation within the ark. Thou shalt finish it above. And the door of the ark shall thou set in the side thereof with lower, second, and third stories thou shalt make it. And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant. And thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons, and thy wife and thy sons' wives, with thee. And of every living thing, of all flesh, two of every sort shall I bring in into the ark to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female. Of fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth shall after his kind. Two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. And thou shalt take, and take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. And thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Now, there's a lot of mystical kind of stuff that's happening now. The Zohar was allegedly this mystical thing that caused all the animals on the face of the earth, including humans, to come to the place. To come to the place where the ark was being built. And Noah allegedly had in his possession the skins, the animal skins that God had made to cover Adam and Eve. And these skins had mystical powers that whoever possessed them controlled man and beast in terms of dominion. And that's how there's all kinds of stories that we'll get into about what took place outside the ark for all these years, because It's all kinds of mystical stuff that's kind of fun.
Was it 70 years? 70 years?
What?
That it took to build it?
It's at least that.
That's what, I don't know how long 70 years would have been back then, but it's just, it had to have been a great amount of time because it was a large boat and there weren't that many people working on it.
What I want you to learn from, the reason I'm kind of hesitant here, because I want to talk about one thing and guys want me, I'm feeling I should talk about something else. I want to get on with it here, but I think God wants us to talk about patience.
That was patience.
The patience of Noah.
That's what I was thinking.
In the light of what was going on around him, he was being mocked constantly by his surroundings, by, I'm sure, his family. His family was constantly saying, they got it. Yeah, this is crazy.
It was as if he had a pair of purple shoes.
How did this information come to him?
Well, nobody knows, obviously.
Well, did they talk about?
It's called the Beth Kol. It means the voice of Yahweh, the big guy.
So he believed he
were
God,
obviously. Oh, yeah. All right. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Now notice, his household wasn't righteous, not even mentioned. But Noah was the covering for that household.
Yeah, because they took clean animals and unclean animals too.
What?
They take all the animals, the clean ones and the unclean ones. He's going to take Noah's family.
But
the ones that will do good and the ones that will do evil.
That's not really the point.
I think the rabbi is speaking.
Remember, if somebody was a bad person, they just bumped off the whole family? Sort of like it's a collective.
Yeah, but they were the only group left.
Yeah, but this was before the law.
This was before the law.
This is the only reason they were here was because their grandparents hadn't mixed with the.
And that's including the sons' wives, isn't it?
Right.
So
including the sons' wives.
Their grandparents, as opposed to paying for
it wasn't the only parents. Honestly.
That's a good point.
Awesome. Well. The idea of the church is the household. A church had to have at least 10, but not more than 20 people in order to be a church in the first century. That was the definition also under the law of a household.
10.
So the household is saved. The church is saved, not by my belief, but by Christ's belief. We live by his faith. Not by my faith. Or not by your faith, obviously.
So this is obvious. Obviously.
So why do you put 10 people in
the ark?
Because that question is endless debate in the Midrash. And the reason is that there couldn't be a real synagogue until there was the law. That's you couldn't have a real synagogue until the law was given. So this was like the Gentile type of it, and only had 8.
They didn't have kids?
Huh?
They didn't have kids?
They didn't have kids at this time. Okay.
Probably a lot to do, though, while they're shortly after.
Well, one of the things that the Zohar did, allegedly, was put the animals in a state of suspended animation. And so that there was, they effectively were like the bears when they hibernate for the winter. The whole animal, the whole ark was in a state of suspended animation. They didn't have to clean up because they didn't eat
bear shit out of the ark for 40 days. Like,
that was horny how they handled
it. That was
By the way, we
cool.
refer to it as spore.
We'd like to find this, I'd like to find this little Zohar thing. That's what all these mystical religions are looking for, is the Zohar. All right. See, I mean, it'd be a whole lot cheaper to keep Levites around if you had the Zohar, huh?
The Fairview and the Dread, you'll be on all Levites with it.
Was it Zohar?
Maybe I already got it.
Yeah. Maybe, you never know. Code is skin
there.
It's the shirt.
What?
It's the shirt.
This one?
There's something about that skin that you keep talking about. It's like, it's still in existence and it still is to be possessed or something like that.
Understood.
Yeah.
Right. Does it have to
it's
do with
covering?
Put on Jesus. Put on the Lord.
Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no provision for your own flesh to fulfill the desires thereof.
What about the clothes?
And your joy of the Lord shall be your strength. Huh?
The clothes that you were talking about, Adam.
Yeah, that's what this is. The skins. That's the type of the covering. If you can put on that skin, which was the Lord Jesus Christ, the blood covered in the blood. Okay. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Now, again, we could spend a long time on that scripture. Noah wasn't righteous by any other generation standard. In fact, the Midrash and the Zohar and the Talmud, Noah's painted as really a bad dude. But he was righteous in his generation. He was righteous in compared to everybody else. Right. So.
Yeah. And that constituted not being part demon.
Yeah.
By somebody before him.
Right, right,
oh,
right.
That'd be cool.
But he had to have faith.
I can identify
you
with that.
You're not part demon.
Well.
So come on in.
What is faith?
Why would he just start building this enormous ark if he didn't have some kind of...
Well, because faith is what's left when everything you can think about is gone. There was nothing in that generation that he was desirous of, and he hung around. That's what faith is.
He's surrounded by giants.
Yeah, because over here it says...
He's surrounded by all kinds of shit.
And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and the imagination that when we were talking about that, and it repented the Lord, like God turned his back on man. But Noah found grace. It was like Noah was as much a part of the wickedness but just like somehow we find grace in that position somehow.
Amen. It's like we really don't know a great deal about faith. I mean, we can spend the rest of our lives trying to find out what faith is, and the best we can do is one of these idiots on Christian radio or television. God says, if you have the faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say to that mountain, be thou removed. Again, as we've said, that doesn't mean that you have just a little bit of faith. It means that the mustard seed knows it's a mustard seed. Once you know who you are, then you have faith. Faith and knowledge are synonymous. The religion, the world, Babylon, will teach you that you must have blind faith. In fact, I mean, that's what they say all the time. Every time they can't answer a question, they'll say, well, you must have faith, my son.
Well, that's why we have to experience what we know. Because
we have to be able to say the reason for our hope. We can't just say, you must have faith, my son. That's a cop-out.
Because
it's like
when you die, then you can ask God those questions.
Yeah, right. That's stupid.
Thanks, Gilligan.
Yeah.
It's like when people say to me, God works in mysterious ways, and it's like, oh, he doesn't.
Puke.
Yeah. Or the one I like is, well, only God knows what his ways. No, that's not right. God will not do anything unless he reveals it first to his prophets and apostles. I mean, we know exactly what God's doing. We don't have to be in doubt about what he's doing. We know exactly what he's doing.
I don't know what
Noah
did. What? Well, for a long time he got up every morning and he did stuff. And then one day when he got up, he started building an ark. And then every day for 70 to 100 years, he got up and he worked on the ark. And then one day it was time to get into the ark.
That's right. He just had the faith of Abraham. He just did stuff until he didn't want to do it anymore. And he did it. You understand?
It's part of that art.
Yeah.
It's like, well, it's like what you said, like, and God told Rick to go to San Antonio or something.
Yeah, yeah. If we, as I said, if they were writing us, if we were writing the book of Acts about us, in it we would have read, and God told John and Paula to go to Con. Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens. The male and his female, and of the beasts that are not clean by two, a male and his female. Why by sevens for the clean ones?
Sacrifice.
What kind of sacrifice?
That means seven pairs.
What kind of sacrifice? Come on, you guys that have studied the offerings.
The trespass offering.
No. There was no law. There could be no trespass.
Oh, it had to be the burnt offering.
It was the only one that could be offered in the book of Genesis was the burnt offering.
I grant you it was a guess, but
he got it right. You didn't get it right. You said it before?
Yes.
But you didn't know why you said it.
I know, I just said it.
He was
hollocking. He was a wild beast. He was hollocking. And the beamer walked with God. He hollocked.
Wait a minute, I gotta spike my Bible.
And then you gotta whap him in the butt. You gotta whap him in the butt.
Yeah, but not real fast or real hard.
God's gotta whap you in the butt. All right.
Now why only two of the evil ones?
Why only two of the evil ones? The unclean ones. Why did God make unclean animals?
So that we would know that
there'd
be cats.
Clean and unclean.
So we can see the meaning of the sacrifices. So we can see Christ. That's why.
Oh, that's a good reason.
A fowl's also of the air by sevens, the male and the female, to keep seed alive upon the face of the earth. Why did he have that many birds? So they could shed seed.
Take seeds all around the earth.
Like, shit it.
Because it's going to break up down here.
Huh?
Oh, that's right.
The landmass is going to break up. We need birds to take seeds to Hawaii.
Birds shift seeds and causes stuff to grow.
Yeah, it's right in its own little pocket of fertilizer.
That's why when you go to, like,
are you raising your hand or shielding your eyes from the sun or something?
When you go to Yosemite, there are all these trees growing along these great sheer rock walls because birds have pooped for years on these walls.
Or bird guano. We like bird
guano. Okay.
Some seed can't germinate unless they have some
different bird guano.
Because it breaks down the coat.
Okay. For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth. Now, he's got the ark finished right now, you understand? And he's never, ever, ever once seen rain.
So now he doesn't have to work for those 7 days?
No, he's rests. Works over, it's finished.
He knows.
He's got his boat, he know it. Noah know it. All right. Oh, it's time to go. Take it, big guy.